Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly awful, or did it change history? Good evening and welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score and then rewatch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remember. And then we score the movie again.
With me as ever is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm relaxing. I'm having a bit of a break from it all. How about you?
I'm trying to relax, yeah. Supposed to be having a break from it all, yeah.
Yeah, so on your break from it all, surely, through all of this, there has been an anecdote. We're all waiting.
I've got two this week, because I couldn't decide. So the first one, I met up with a fan of the podcast yesterday. And I was given a gift, which technically goes towards the things that don't work on a podcast segment.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the gift?
That was my prop. It's the Amazing Spider-Man 1 DVD case in the shape of Amazing Spider-Man's mask. It's quite cool. I don't know if you could see
that.
Wow.
That's very generous.
It is, yeah. It's worth something, but he gave me it for free. So there you go.
Wow. Do you meet with fans often?
No comment. Because that sounds a bit suspicious.
It does. Oh, but I'm sure there'd be many people that would want to meet with you.
I would hope so. Yeah, that would be nice. My second anecdote is I went and bought a pair of new shoes this week. And the guy selling me them needed an email address. And he couldn't understand that I was saying the letter M, not N. And for some reason, my immediate instinct was to say M for marrow. So there you go. A self-reference.
You definitely should. You could have said M for melon, of course.
But that wouldn't be accurate at all.
No, that's true. It's because it's definitely a marrow.
Exactly.
We have a listener question, typically, as we always do at this time of the pod. We have a listener question this time from somebody called Jeff, who was in Trenton in the United States of America. Jeff said, I listened to your podcast last week. I really enjoyed it. He thought our views on the Fantastic Four were a little bit harsh, but otherwise it was quite entertained by us. He said, I note that you're about to do Spider-Man 3. And he asks a very simple question. Which, in our view, is the best movie trilogy of all time?
Gotta be Lord of the Rings.
Well, that was the first thing that popped into my head, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better one.
I mean, I like the Dark Knight trilogy, but it's got a few iffy parts of it, I suppose.
I think you can look at trilogies, and there's always an inconsistency in some of them. So,
yeah.
Back to the Future trilogy is amazing, but maybe the third part sort of lets it down a bit.
Yeah, I saw the DeLorean the other day.
Really?
Yeah, there was a sort of Comic-Con type thing near where I live, and they had the DeLorean there. I was meant to send you a picture of it, actually, but I forgot.
I'd love that picture.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's where I parked it.
Did it have, like, all of the Back to the Future stuff inside of it?
Yeah, there was the letter to Doc, the almanac was in there, there was a... What's the decapitated Marty McFly, which was a bit odd. I also saw Sir Alec Guinness. That was a picture I was definitely supposed to send to you, but forgot.
You saw Sir Alec Guinness?
Yeah, we got a picture together.
You know he's, you know.
From a galaxy far, far away, yeah. He just popped in, that's all.
You know Sir Alec Guinness is dead, right?
Has that happened within the last week or something?
It's been a while.
He did seem a bit, like, statuesque. Maybe it was just a statue.
It's more likely.
Yeah. That would
make
sense.
Did he say anything?
No, actually. That Yeah, that might be the answer. I thought he was
Yeah.
just shy.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe I've got my facts wrong. Maybe Sir Alec Guinness is alive and well.
I also do think the original trilogy for Star Wars is a pretty good trilogy.
Yeah, we're back on track. It is a good trilogy. Is it the best one, though?
Probably not, no. But I can't just always say Lord of the Rings is the answer.
No, and I am trying to think of a good one. I think Indiana Jones is a good
Yeah.
trilogy.
Pirates of the Caribbean, because there's only three of those.
Pirates of the Caribbean, there's three of those, yeah.
Yeah.
The first three Wallace and Gromit movies.
That's true, yeah. I like to include all of those, I think, there.
Yeah, I think we are going to land on Lord of the Rings, aren't we?
Yeah. Oops.
Because, but you would say because there's no weak link in that chain of the three movies.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we are going to be on type and say that we think our favorite movie trilogy of all time is probably Lord of the Rings.
Pretty much, yeah.
Or it could be at the end of this podcast, the Spider-Man trilogy.
It could be, but probably not.
Because Sam and I have been away and we have rewatched the 2007 classic Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
So, do you think for Spider-Man 3 your score will change?
I'm not really sure. I think I landed quite easily with the memory score, and I have seen this a few times. So it'd be interesting to see if I do change my mind as yours changed.
Yeah, I think it may have changed a little bit because I gave it 3 from memory. And what did you give it?
I gave it a 7, yeah.
Wow, okay, that's very generous. So my first question about the movie is this. And I think it's probably more of a statement than a question, okay?
Okay.
So a little earlier today, I was brushing my hair and I brushed my fringe forward. And I suddenly felt really evil and powerful. Do you find that happens to you?
No.
But obviously, you know why I've asked that question.
In the context of this movie, absolutely. But I would also have to have an alien symbiote to connect to me in order for that to happen, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably fair to say that there's a 20-minute part of this movie in which Peter Parker is bad Peter Parker and he does his hair and he does that fringe thing and it grows about 3 inches with he doesn't have to do anything for
Yeah.
that to happen.
I also think it's so brief, we're just immediately jumping into it. I also think it's so brief how he does that, because he's like, I'm gonna put my hair in front of my eyes. Oh, wait, should I do that? It's like,
Yeah.
what?
It's listen, I think it's the thing that drives the movie, because there's always in every superhero kind of pattern of movies, there's the time when the superhero becomes bad.
Yeah.
I found Tobey Maguire as a bad character not particularly convincing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I don't want to be harsh to Tobey Maguire's acting abilities, but I don't know if he isn't as able to play evil as much as he is able to play the nerdy superhero type. So is it Peter Parker's not very good at being evil, or is it Tobey Maguire not being able to play a nerdy evil? That's what I don't quite understand.
I think it's probably the latter, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's because we've associated Peter Parker for so long with nerdy good guy that when he suddenly has to be all cool, but then even when he's walking down the street and doing those dance moves and stuff, it is not terribly convincing.
No, to this day, I still don't really understand why they included that, but I do like it.
I
Looking
quite.
back, I think, yeah.
I did think it was quite fun, but I think it's a superhero movie trope, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
Superman 2, famously, he becomes bad as well.
I
Everybody
think it's
has that at some
three.
point. Oh, it might be 3, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know now.
But Typically, we'd begin by talking about cast, and there are one or two notable additions to the cast. So, what did you make of the cast this time around?
I think they're still quite strong in what they do. I think they've not really evolved as much between, other than age, I suppose, and experience during between the three films. But I don't fault them for any of that, and I do think they know what they're doing, and they're able to play these characters off really well. They know how the characters would react, etc., etc. But I do think the inclusions of like Bryce Dallas Howard as Gwen Stacy, or Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman, and the other guy, Topher Grace, who plays Venom. I think they're decent actors playing those roles. I don't know if they're my favourite interpretation of those roles, but I do think they do a good enough job in inserting themselves into this universe and acting as if they were there the whole time. That I do enjoy.
I agree with that. I actually thought Topher Grace was really good.
I think he gets a bit understated a lot, I want to say. He knows he's good as the character. He's convincing enough. I think what really lets it down is the writing at that point where he becomes Venom and it's just a bit poor, and it's not even very in character for Venom for the most part. But I think the rest of it he does quite well.
I agree. I thought he was actually pretty decent in that. And I thought Thomas Hayden Church as Flint Marko was actually really good.
I think he's definitely the strength of the movie. I've one of my notes was that I could literally watch the scene where he turns into Sandman over and over again, because that piece of cinema alone is perfect as it is. And I think he plays that such a convincing manner, and you feel for him, even though he's supposed to be the villain, and then towards the end he isn't. You can totally see his reasoning, and you get what's going on in his head. I should also state that Sandman's probably one of my favourite Marvel villains in the comics. But I think even with all of that and the history and what came afterwards, he plays the character perfectly. And I'm quite glad he came back eventually.
Yeah, I think he deserved to come back, and I really did like him. That he mentioned, I wanted the sort of interview for the roles or whatever, that he watched a lot of people play Frankenstein, and because he felt that that was the kind of character that Sandman was, that he's this kind of monster that doesn't want to be a monster, and I thought he nailed it. I actually thought it was really good.
Here's a little memory for you. When this film came out and we went to the beach, I would pick up the sand and let it pour out of my fingers as if I was Sandman. That's pretty cool, like
That is
that I
pretty
did
cool.
that, yeah.
It was one of the things in this movie that I had not remembered well. I kind of remember Sandman as not being important or necessary in the movie. But I think he actually is. On balance, looking back, I think Venom is less necessary.
It's one of those annoying Sony Spider-Man moves where they shove as many villains in as they possibly can. And I reckon if you took out one of the villains, the movie would work a lot better. And I would probably pick Venom at that point and just say, look, get rid of him. Maybe tease him for the next movie. I know we get that cool arc of emo Peter Parker, but I don't know, I feel like it brings the story down too much. But then again, Sandman's not really that kind of villain. So if anything, I suppose you'd have to take out the New Goblin storyline.
Yeah, there was a few things in this movie that I found a bit, I don't know, disappointing is probably too strong. But in the previous movies, we've sort of followed Mary Jane's acting career. And when the movie opens, she's on Broadway. So we're supposed to be pretty happy about that. And then 20 minutes in, she's fired. It felt really unfair to her.
I don't know. I'm sure I've said it before with the other episodes, but I'm not really into Mary Jane's character, because, and I totally get where she's coming from, as a character standpoint and how it's written, of being she doesn't want the attention, but she wants the focus. And then Spider-Man or to Toby, that's not right. Peter comes in and he says, oh, this happens all the time with Spider-Man. And she shoots him down. But, like, how else is he supposed to relate to her and have that conversation? So, in a way, it's kind of, I can see them both being wrong, but I can kind of see them both being right.
I did. F I did find it quite hard to sympathize with her in this movie.
Yeah, especially because she
Because,
cheats again.
yeah, exactly.
Third film in a row.
Yeah, so even though she has that bit on the bridge and Harry's sort of presented the idea that she's breaking up with him, you did sort of kiss him before any of that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was a pretty decent Gwen Stacy, but again, I felt a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, I saw a post the other day that said, "Is Bryce Dallas Howard the best Gwen Stacy?" No, she's not. She's not even accurate, to be honest. But I do like the inclusion of that character in the role, and I she is probably a bit unnecessary. But I think you need that tipping point to include Eddie Brock's Venom. Otherwise, it doesn't really work in its own right. So I can see why they did it, but yeah, it's not really necessary.
J.K. Simmons was criminally underused in this movie.
Yeah.
And the whole joke, oh, have you taken your tablets? You need to be calmer. Great, it's a
Yeah.
funny joke, but the whole character demands that he's angry all of the time.
It feels like it needs some sort of resolution towards the end of it, where they just sort of they give up and he's still angry. But no, I think that's too much of a conclusion. I'll leave that.
Okay. But I love J.K. Simmons, and I think
Yeah.
he is the best J. Jonah Jameson and would always be the best.
Isn't he the only one in live action?
Probably. And on that basis, he
Yeah.
will be the best.
Yeah.
Dr. Kirk Connors seemed to know a lot about biology for a physicist.
That's true, yeah. You know, it still always confuses me how, as a kid, I didn't realize he only had one arm. It's really obvious when you're an adult and you can see it.
Yeah,
I don't know how, I completely missed it somehow.
I'd forgotten about that, and I thought, oh yeah, he's only got one arm.
It's the bit where he is checking on the little sample and you go, "Oh wait, his hand isn't in his pocket. His sleeve's just tied up." And
I,
I was like, "Oh wait."
yeah, I got all of that as well. But by and large, I think the cast are fine.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about James Franco.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he brings too much to this role. I think I said it in the last one when we did Spider-Man 2 that it's sort of a bit sudden that he changes and turns evil, whereas in this one it's immediately explored and then suddenly he's good again and then suddenly he's bad again. And I do like the sacrifice at the end. But it I don't know, it's one of those really obvious foreshadowings. Oh, they're my best friends, I'd die for them. Dies for them. And it's almost as if it could have been avoided. I don't know. It's just a weird tradition that someone has to die in a Spider-Man movie by the end of it. And I feel like in this instance, it could have been avoided.
It could absolutely have been avoided. It's a totally unnecessary movie death. I
Yeah.
like the fact that he gets a sense of redemption or whatever, but at no point has Harry really been a bad person. He's
Yeah.
always doing the same thing that Peter is doing. You killed my uncle. I'm going to chase you down for revenge. You killed my dad. I'm
I've
going to
never really
chase you
thought
down
about
for
that,
revenge.
yeah.
So they have this kind of mirrored pathway, and yet one of them's a hero, the other one isn't.
That sort of sells the importance of great power, great responsibility, and that's quite interesting.
Yeah. But again, I didn't find him particularly convincing as good Harry.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I do really like that scene because, like, it's obvious and it's cliche, but it's cool to see them come together. And I don't think Spider-Man could have done it on his own.
No.
Not that version anyway. But I do think I did like it. But it's another one of those, is Harry Osborn's character just sort of gimmicky? So we need a villain at the beginning, Harry Osborn. Now we don't know what to do with his story. Let's make him good again. Or now Peter can't do it on his own. We need to resolve that story, bring him in. Now he's dead, so by the next movie, if there was one, we can't have another, "Oh, why doesn't he just call Harry?" kind of situation. So,
How
I don't
much
know.
easier would everybody's life have been if the butler had told Harry, No, Harry, mate, you're wrong. He didn't do it. You need to know that now, not later.
Yeah, it could have all been avoided.
It could. The whole thing goes away.
I do find it quite funny though that the poor butler, he's got loads of bloopers where he just can't say his line because he's so old, and that's all I can think of when I see him. There was another bit in the movie when I was watching it that I was thinking, I can't look past the blooper. Oh, that was it. You know the dinner scene where he takes MJ to go to the French restaurant, and then Gwen turns up and they have that little conversation. There's always a blooper where. There's a blooper where Toby always giggles, and that's all I could think of the whole time.
And while we're talking about underused characters or whatever, or characters, why does Peter Parker not get into a meaningful relationship with Ursula?
I know. Every time I rewatch these movies, I'm like, she's right there. Ignore
She's
the other
right
one.
there. She's perfectly lovely. She loves him unconditionally. She bakes him cakes, and he can't see it.
Yeah, she loves him for Peter Parker, not anything else.
Exactly. Do you think it's deliberate? Because I was watching it and I was thinking, maybe they're more sophisticated than I think they am. Maybe what I'm supposed to think he should be with Ursula.
I don't know because it's only recently come up to me in later years that it is a thing. So I don't know if I've ever really noticed it apart from maybe in the last few years.
So
Just repeated that point.
I think we should definitely have a version of Spider-Man, and there's bound to be one out there in the universe or the multiverse where he's in a relationship with Ursula.
That needs to happen, yeah. Even if it's just a throwaway line.
Yeah, just she's there. She loves Peter Parker. She doesn't know he's Spider-Man. They've got a couple of kids. They've lived happily ever after.
With him still as Spider-Man, how does he hide
Well,
that?
who knows? Yeah. But
Yeah.
she loves him. So maybe she
Exactly, yeah.
knows. She sort of secretly knows.
And he gets free rent.
Absolutely. And cookies all the time.
Yeah, and supposed chocolate cake.
Yeah. Maybe that's happened in his universe, which would explain Peter Parker's little tummy when they. All three of them get together in the multiverse.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even though he references MJ, yeah.
Oh, that is
Maybe
true.
Ursula's middle. It's like what they did with No Way Home anyway, where Michelle Jones is actually just MJ.
Yeah.
Ursula's middle name was MJ. She
That's
prefers to
it.
be called that name. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be ironic. The main problem with this movie, for my part, is there's simply too much going on.
Yeah, that is a big issue.
And it rewrites everything that we've had from the lore of the previous movies. So who killed Uncle Ben and things like that all felt a bit forced and unnecessary.
That is still a crazy to this day retcon of the story. And I don't know. They clearly had no idea they were going to do it. But I feel like they could have introduced Flint Marko in a different way. But then I don't know if it would have the same impact on the story. But I don't know. I just. Sometimes I think the error with these movies is that they rewrite the origin story in the movie. And I think that absolutely causes the issue. I mean, you have the first movie, Uncle Ben dies, teaches him a lesson. The second movie, yeah, there's that lesson, but he changes his mind because he wants to be normal. The third movie, someone else killed Uncle Ben. And it's like, just leave that story alone. This is actually, I mean, of the Spider-Man that we've had, this is the only one of the franchise where Uncle Ben appears in all three movies. And I think it really shows.
I also think as well that there's no redemption for Flint Marko. He killed Uncle Ben.
Yeah, and just because Peter apologizes to him,
And
that's it.
you kind of get his motivation. I need the money, my daughter's sick, etc., etc. But you killed an innocent man. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in there, I think they probably realized that. And decided that he didn't kill him, he was just bumped by the other guy and his gun went off.
Yeah, there's a weird sort of thing that you have to admit as well, slightly going off your point. Because Sandman turns up in No Way Home, because everybody that Spider-Man has killed turns up, that sort of implies that halfway through flying through the city as sand, he turned back to human and fell. Actually, I don't think that's the theory there, but it is a funny idea.
Yeah, because you're right. All of the other people were people that he had killed. And actually, Sandman didn't die at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I think the general idea or the theory behind it is that the reason it doesn't become a human form in No Way Home is because the sand part of him has taken over too much, and that's how he's slowly starting to die.
Well,
But again,
that's
that's not
fair enough.
Spider-Man's fault.
That's not Spider-Man's fault at all, is it?
Anyway, complete deviation from your point there, sorry.
No, that's absolutely fine. Let's talk CGI.
I was looking forward to this.
So last week we invented the Cavill scale,
Yeah.
where zero is Cavill's moustache, or lack of it. So tell me where this movie sits on the Cavill scale, and then explain your answer.
This is a complicated one on the Cavill scale. I want to put it high because the Sandman stuff is, I want to say, beautiful. It's very detailed for 2007, and it's better than some of the stuff we'd get today. But, and I've said this before in, I think, Spider-Man 1, maybe Spider-Man 2, that Spider-Man 3 loses the plot with CGI. And I'm talking about the fight scene at the end where Spider-Man doesn't have his mask on and he looks like rubber. And none of it looks real or convincing at all. Even the bit where he swings with Mary Jane, it's so fake. So that kind of lowers it. So I might put it like a 4 on the Cavill scale. So it's sort of like I want to put it higher because of Sandman. But I don't want to put it in the middle. It's complicated.
It is. I think the movie suffers because, if I'm right, you tell me if I am, I think it came out in 3D.
I think it did, yeah.
And so you can kind of see they're looking for a particular effect, depth effect, that kind of thing. But the fight scene at the end, the CGI is just terrible.
To be honest, I'd go and say that all the Venom stuff and the symbiote and all the gooey things is good CGI as well. But it's just the fight. We've said it before, it's the recreation of making a person look real. Everything else that isn't real you can sell, but when it comes to people, it just doesn't look real.
Yeah, I think on the Cavill scale, Sandman, the symbiote, Venom, I think it's great. I think old
Yeah.
CGI is better than new CGI.
Absolutely.
So, if we're going to give a score this early in the podcast, 8 or 9 for all of that stuff,
Yeah.
but a 2 for anything Spidey related.
Yeah. I was saying to friend of the podcast that some of the Fantastic Four CGI was quite bad, and then Jurassic World Rebirth, and even bits in Superman. So I don't know how we've managed to go back. Actually, I was watching Infinity War the other day because that was on the telly, and that has some CGI that's aged quite badly as well.
Well, going back to everybody's favorite trilogy, there's some shockers in there as well.
Oh, yeah. But I feel like that gets a pass.
It does. If you look at the characters running across the Bridge of Khazad Dûm, no,
Yeah,
it's
true.
actually quite funny.
There's a shot in Two Towers, I think, actually, where Aragorn's clearly pasted onto a background of elves. That looks terrible.
Yeah, bit of cut and paste.
What happened to the spider sense, by the way? It seems sometimes it just doesn't work. But I get that it doesn't work in lore with Venom. But there's bits at the beginning of the film, like where Harry attacks him. Which leads on to a bit of trivia, actually, that I discovered, is that this is the only one in the trilogy to not have a sound effect for spider sense. Which I
Wow.
didn't know.
Trilogy as in the trilogy of movies or the trilogy of universes.
Tobey Maguire trilogy.
Right. I didn't realize that. Hey, would you like to know box office and stuff for this movie?
Hey, okay.
How did I say hey like that?
It felt like an attack.
So look, we always do the box office and things. So this movie had a budget of estimated to be around $350 million, and at the time was the most expensive movie ever made.
Wow.
And it had a total box office. What do you reckon?
Triple.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's sort of doubling a bit. It made $191.6 million.
Wow.
And is on the list somewhere in the top 50 most successful films of all time.
Cool.
Made an awful lot of money. So it beat the record for opening weekend. So the biggest opening weekend until that point had been Star Wars Episode 3. And it beat that.
That's only a couple of years between it as well. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And how many Oscars do you think it was nominated for?
Two, maybe?
No, unfortunately not. It was nominated for none. But it did win a couple of awards.
Did it get any Razzies?
It didn't get any Razzies. It's extraordinary.
Interesting.
It did win the Golden Trailer Award.
Okay.
And it was nominated for things like Best Visual Effects, Favorite Movie Actress, Kirsten Dunst, People's Choice Awards, Best Threequel. But it didn't win anything. So the only one it won was the Golden Trailer Award.
Fair enough. I don't know if it's the best trailer in the world, but fair enough for back then.
We probably gave it a big thumbs up, though, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's like an immediate thumbs up.
As our movie is the benefit of hindsight, and as we have established, I think, over our 50-odd or so episodes, that you are a bit of a fan of Spider-Man. In the great pantheon of Spider-Man, is this the worst one?
Well, this is an interesting thing that I discovered about myself, is as of the recording of this episode, there are no Spider-Man films that I hate. I like them all in their own sort of way. But that being said, I do think, if anything, this one's probably tied with Amazing Spider-Man 2 in the grand scheme of things. I like both of these movies, but if I had to sit down and watch one, I'd probably pick Amazing Spider-Man 2. But it depends on the mood that I'm feeling, because sometimes Spider-Man 3 just sits better with us. So I wouldn't say it was the worst, but then you're asking someone whose scale is they're all good.
Yeah, I think that's because you would have been super excited for this. I mean, 2007, yeah. You're, you know, still primary school age, I think.
I think so.
Just about. And so this would have been a big one for you. Yeah. Do you have any memory of it, other than the obvious you gave it a 7 in the concept of our podcast? But as a 10-year-old watching it, did you get any sense that it was bad or good?
I don't think I did back then. I did mention it in the last episode that we went and saw this a good few times at the cinema. And I think I do have a memory of going, yeah, this is great. This is the best thing I've ever seen. But that might also be what I said during Curse of the Were-Rabbit, because we saw that a few times.
True.
So I definitely do remember having that moment of, this is my superhero. These are the films that I really like. So I did enjoy it back then. I didn't have any idea of, oh, this is terrible. Why is he dancing? Etc, etc. I always thought it was a good film and a good representation of the character back then.
Yeah, I think my memory of it from when we watched it originally was probably close to what it is now. It's a bit too dense in terms of what it's trying to do with the plot, and it's not doing any of that density particularly well.
It's a bit like Fantastic Four 2 in a way, where it's, okay, that wasn't the best. I'd love to see what they do next, and then we can't. So we have to just judge it based on what happened here.
I would like to have seen another film in this Spider-Man universe. Pretty interesting.
Have you ever seen that interview with Tobey Maguire where he says, "Oh yeah, we're about to start shooting next week," and then a couple of days later in real time it got cancelled?
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's so
Oh dear.
heartbreaking.
Oh no.
Yeah, and then a few years later it was announced they were doing Amazing Spider-Man. Oh.
Yeah. Poor Toby. He was also
Yeah.
briefly considered for the part of Frodo Baggins.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that actually, yeah.
And I think his commitment to Spider-Man meant he couldn't do it. Or there was something like he was too recognizable or something like that.
Yeah. I'm
Maybe
glad it
that
was
got.
Elijah.
Definitely. I was enjoying the soundtrack watching the movie.
That's another thing I
And
want to talk about, yeah.
I didn't know, and I looked at it wasn't Danny Elfman.
I know, yeah, it wasn't Danny Elfman, but I do think he did, Christopher Young did a really good job of it. And I know at that point it's sort of, it's already created and established, but the themes of Sandman and Venom, when he gets the black suit especially, are perfect theme songs. Like, I don't fault them at all. I don't doubt that Danny Elfman could have done the same or maybe done better, but I do like this take on them, to be honest. The scene where he gets the symbiote and then it cuts to him on the side of a building and that big flare of music is absolute cinema, and I love it. We didn't get a cheer when I saw it in the cinema last year, which is a shame, but there weren't that many people there, but it is, it's perfect.
So there must be loads of trivia or even out-of-pocket takes. But before we do that, I think what the audience and I want to hear most of all are, if there are any, Sam's controversial opinions.
Do you know, I didn't think there were any, but I did come up with one, and I think it probably is controversial to die-hard Spider-Man completionists.
Okay.
And that is, Aunt May's Uncle Ben story is the worst thing in this movie, and any time I get the chance, I'll skip it. I just don't care for it, and it slows the entire movie down anyway. It's already a slow movie, but I find it dull just thinking about Uncle Ben and his bathing suit. It's I you could do without it and the movie would be
It's
fine.
definitely staying in. Yeah. I actually don't. Oh, I'm going to say something. This is my controversial opinion. I don't really like this iteration of Aunt May and Uncle Ben.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. I think there's better ones out there.
She's too old. Uncle Ben appears just to have turned into Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I think there was always this weird misconception that Aunt May has to be old, and she doesn't
Right.
have to be old. It doesn't make any sense.
Which they definitely fixed for
Yeah.
the later Spider-Mans.
Johnny Cash.
He does look just like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Do you know like late Cash? Sort of
Yeah.
hurt video era. He looks just like him.
Yeah.
If he'd picked up a guitar and started singing Hurt, you wouldn't have been surprised. Anyway, I'm going to allow that controversial opinion because I think mine
Cool,
is even
thanks.
more controversial. She's too old,
Yeah.
she's too doddery, and that story goes on forever.
It does.
It's like it's unnecessary.
My out-of-pocket take might also be a controversial opinion. They're kind of one and the same this time. Sandman was the most emotionally complex character in the whole trilogy, and he just gets completely ignored in this film because everyone is too busy complaining about Toby dancing. It's a real shame because without, if you ignore all of that and you get Sandman, it works perfectly.
I'm glad you've mentioned that because I think I've already said it, but it is worth saying Sandman is an amazingly good Spidey villain.
Yeah.
Conflicted,
Absolutely.
he's got clear motivation for what he's doing. Yeah, I just think they treated him really badly in this film.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of trivia for this as well,
I'm
and I did get a
excited.
bit like I delved into it quite a bit, but I don't know if I came out with anything that interesting. There's a lot of screaming in this film from Kirsten Dunst. It gets quite repetitive and annoying, but it turns out all of the screams were recycled from Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, which is interesting. But I think she even got sick of it, to be fair.
Do you think she had a no screaming clause in her contract?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised after the first two.
It's like I'm done all my screens. You know, I keep saying screens, screams.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Back to Sandman. The first shot of Sandman Foreman took about 6 months to create, which you can kind of see and understand, and I'm glad that they put the time into it, to be fair.
Which also explains the fight scene at the end, because they only had 20 minutes to do
That's a good point.
it. All that time and effort on Sandman.
Yeah.
All makes
That
sense
might
now.
answer the question, the age-old question.
Yeah.
Which has just reminded me of a weird anecdote, actually. The soundtrack to this, as far as I can tell, never got released officially, but I've only just discovered that, or admitted defeat with that. Every time I'm in a charity shop, I always go looking for it. Still to this day, but I think I might have given up. There is, however, a possibly illegal version of it out there. The film's translation in the Russian title was Spider-Man 3, Enemy in the Reflection. I quite like that.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
It's quite
'Cause
good,
he is
yeah.
his own enemy in the reflection
Yeah. There's a deleted. Oop.
with his fringe.
And there's a deleted scene where there's a bit of a jump scare where Venom's in the reflection as well, which is quite cool.
Cool.
Doesn't back up that bit of trivia, but it's cool.
That is cool. I like Venom. I quite like the Venom movies as well.
I like them, yeah.
Who's your of the two, who's your favorite Venom?
Venom, I would say the one from the Tom Hardy Venom films.
Yeah.
Eddie Brock, probably also the Tom Hardy.
Okay, fair
But
enough.
I feel like that's just too different a character. Like if you put Tom Hardy's Venom in Spider-Man 3, it wouldn't quite work the same.
No,
But
it's
like
true,
vice
yeah.
versa as well. But it's interesting, yeah.
It's a mean question because obviously what they did with Venom and Tom Hardy is very different from what they were doing in the movie.
Yeah, I'd be curious if they ever did it again, what it would look like, yeah.
Do you know when Peter is going off to be a hero, he goes back to get his red and blue Spider-Man costume,
I've recreated that, yeah.
and time is of the essence. He has to be quick. It's all kicking off. Mary's in a web. The car's going to fall down. Only he can save her. It takes him about 20 minutes to open the chest.
That's a good point, yeah. And then he has to look flashy in front of the American flag.
Right? Why pause? Makes no sense at all.
It makes sense for the movie, but not in reality.
In reality, yeah. And also, why does this mask always end up getting ripped off?
Yeah, there's the action in at the end of the scene where part of the eye of the mask is gone. If you sort of line it up as to where the other eye would be, the lens isn't there at all. It's like he can't see out of one eye, but they never address that. He never just slightly readjusts it.
I thought that. I did see it. I think, hang on, I can see your eye. That means that the other eye patch is totally in the wrong place.
Yeah.
How does he breathe?
I don't think he can.
Oh, fair enough. Maybe he doesn't have to.
The logical answer is it's a face shell, but that's boring and nerdy.
Yeah, but true.
Yeah.
I've interrupted your trivia. I'm so sorry. Keep
That's
going.
alright. Only got 2 bits left. Over 600 latex web balloons for the rally scene were hand painted with a Sharpie marker, and I just wanted to give a shout out to whoever had to do that, because that's a lot. Good job.
That is one of those things you don't ever see on a movie set, isn't it? There is literally one person
Yeah.
writing on balloons, and they're like, that's their job.
I'm really worried that it would have been like a very last minute decision and somebody had to really do it before the shouted action. That would be so stressful.
You
I'd
got the
probably retire after
director running around saying, "Where's my balloons? Where's my damn
that.
balloons? I've asked for them. Where are
Oh
they?"
no. You've just triggered a memory about the Spider-Man 2 game where the little girl can't get a balloon. She goes, "My balloon! I've lost my balloon!" Ouch.
Oh, you've triggered a memory of a memory I didn't even know I had, but now you mention
Yeah.
it, it's obvious.
In one of the newer games, there's a little Easter egg where you can find all of his backpacks, and in one of them is a drawing from a little girl where he rescued a balloon. It's cool. I
That's
like that.
cool.
I never played the Spider-Man 3 video game, but I always played the Spider-Man 2 one, the
Was
tie-in one.
there a Spider-Man 3 video game?
There was, yeah. And there was recently leaked gameplay of Spider-Man 4, the game, which is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And my last bit of trivia is that this is the only film of the trilogy to not feature Spider-Man swinging through the city at the end. And I don't know, looking back, because it got cancelled after all, I kind of like the way it ends without a swing. I know it's not swinging off into the sunset and he continues, but it's a nice, calm ending that sort of looks like they're going to rebuild everything. And I like that.
I thought the whole film was tying up the universe quite nicely. And I don't actually think it's a bad thing that it ended here as a trilogy.
Yeah.
Even if you, on reflection, you know that they never intended it to be, you know, the third and final installment. I think it ends pretty well here.
Yeah, it could be argued that this is Harry's story and it ends with Harry.
That's very true, yeah. Maybe the whole thing is Harry's story.
It'd be interesting, yeah.
Should we go to our scores?
I think I'm ready.
So I chose the movie. I gave it 3 out of 10. I therefore get to go first. I think 3 is harsh, but I don't know how much further I really want to go for all the reasons that I've said. Too much plot. Tobey Maguire is not convincing in the bad person role. But it's definitely better than 3. And so I'm going to land on 6 out of 10 from a rewatch, because it's definitely a lot better than I remembered it being. So I'm going to double my score to 6.
Impressive.
Thank you.
I think for me, my memory score being 7 was probably like a 10-year-old Sam who was going, this is the best thing ever. It's really not. But I think I always held at quite high esteem because I liked that character back then, and it was interesting to see the conflict between that character. And I think that sticks with me to this day. And I think some of these movies, in a weird, bizarre way, I can kind of relate to sometimes. Not in the sense that I'll go out in public and dance and look like an idiot because of an alien. But I don't know, I always enjoy it. And as I said, there's never a bad Spider-Man film. But I don't think I'm going to stick with a 7. And I think I'm going to go with you and go with a 6 out of 10.
I think it's good that we've landed on the same score. I think it is a 6 out of 10 movie, generally.
Yeah. I just think this movie had the opportunity to be great, but landed on good. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But you can't have that in the title, can you? There's the amazing Spider-Man and then the good Spider-Man.
Yeah. They're just okay, Spider-Man.
Just okay. What would be your one-word review of this movie?
When I went and saw these in the cinema, I gave a one-word review every time I'd seen them in the cinema. And I checked up on what my one was for this, and I think I'm going to stick with it and just say disappointing.
I agree with that completely. It is disappointing. I'm going to go with... I can't go with overstuffed, because that's technically 2 words. So I'm going to go with stuffed. It's just too much in it.
Yeah, it's not that I just don't like it. I just think I had high expectations for it, and it's not all there, yeah.
It's definitely better than I remember it being, 100%.
True.
So over to you to choose next week's movie. I'm very excited.
Oh, I've been struggling to choose a movie because I feel like eventually soon we're going to get the dull ones that we don't want to watch. But I have landed on one that, quite frankly, I do enjoy. Good. And I do like it. And I think it stuck with me when I was younger too, and continues to do so. The movie that I've picked is, we're staying in 2007, and it's the cult classic B-Movie.
Ah, okay.
The one with the bees.
The one with the bees. Yeah. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a good choice.
And I think this one was one of those ones where, you know, it came in the McDonald's toys, so I'd want all the bees, but couldn't get them. But I did enjoy it, and I remember thinking it was hilarious at the time as a kid. And I have seen it a few times since, and it has just become a giant meme. So I'm kind of going to try and watch it with the benefit of hindsight eyes instead of, let's chuck this on because it's funny. Mm-hmm. But I think from memory, I'm going to give it a 6 and sort of say that I liked it, but I can't quite remember. But it definitely left an impact on us.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that we would have seen. And, you know, you were on sort of duty That came out wrong, but you know what I mean. But I do remember
Yeah.
enjoying it and thinking it was really funny. So, like you, because my memory of it is quite positive, but my memory of the detail is quite slim, I'm going to land on a 6 out of 10 as well. But I have a feeling it might be better than that.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, even the title is good.
It is. It's like a very interesting pun. I feel like I had to explain it, but I didn't.
Yeah, B movie. I'm very happy to watch B movie again. I hope it's as good as I remember.
I hope so too, yeah.
Do you know what day it is today?
No, I actually don't.
Well, it's there's not a lot out there, to be fair. If you are in Malaysia, it's Warriors Day.
Oh.
That's it.
Cool.
So I'm afraid,
Go Warriors.
yeah. So if you are out there and you're in Malaysia, listen to our podcast. Happy Warriors Day.
Yeah.
I would love to give you an update on Otterfest, but unfortunately, I don't have one at this
Oh.
stage.
I do have an otter
I
mascot.
saw that. It's
I
awesome.
came perfectly into frame
It
then.
did. A thing that nobody will see except for us.
Yeah,
That is the.
but it's brilliant.
I think that is the first step in Otterfest taking place.
Merch.
Merch, yeah.
And a
And
mascot,
a
yeah.
mascot, yeah. If we were on Blockbusters or Countdown and you have a mascot, you always win.
Yeah,
So I think
exactly,
it's
yeah.
great that you have that. Hello. The audio medium of
Oh, it
podcasting
didn't
will not
work.
reveal that all I can see at the moment is a stuffed toy otter.
I shouldn't have bought it. I shouldn't be allowed adult money.
No, it's fine. I think it's great. If I'd seen it, I'd have bought it. I'd have bought two.
Cool.
I'd have bought one for me and one for you. In
To
fact, I'm disappointed you didn't buy me one.
be fair, there's quite a few actually.
Well, you know what to go and do with your adult money, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Buy loads, and then we can flog them at Otterfest.
Yeah.
Buy them all. You need to knit a little Otterfest t-shirt for it.
I totally want to. The problem is, right, I can't. I'd have to sew the arms into it. Like, I know you put arms on a jumper or a shirt, but the arms are attached to the otter, so it would have to go over. So I don't want it to just look like a sock. But, I mean, that would work, to be
An
fair.
otter
I
sock.
could just get a green sock and write BOH on
It's a
it.
perfect idea. And you can
Yeah.
we can call it the otter sock.
I love
Have to be careful how you say
it.
that. Well, Sam and I will be back again next week with the 2007 classic B movie. It's not a B movie. That's what it's called. It's like a play on words. In the meantime, you can drop us an email at the Benefit of Hindsight podcast at gmail.com. We were saying just before we started recording that we've got maybe one, maybe two more films in us. But as always, we have this bank of listener questions to get through. So we're going to do another one of those quite soon. So everybody who sent us a question can get their answer. Other than that, thanks very much for listening to us. Happy Warriors Day in Malaysia. And we're off to go make an otter sock. So all that
Okay.
remains is for me to say bye.
And goodbye from me.
Also, we've had some technical problems in this, so if it sounds rubbish, it's my fault. I'm really sorry.
I've got nothing to add to
No,
that.
just sorry for everything.
Everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, fair enough.
And then that on that rather melancholy note, you can fade out into our jolly music in
Yeah.
the world's worst podcast segue of all time.
Perfect.
Bye.
Bye.
With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see were the movies truly awful, or did they change history?